Hello, welcome to Tay2Z, where we chat about every Taylor Swift song in alphabetical order. I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab, and we will be your hosts on this journey. In our last episode, we talked about The Lucky One from Red, Taylor's version.
So good. Mm-hmm. And today we are discussing the song The Man from Lover. Been a minute since we've had a Lover song.
Yeah, it has been.
The Man is the fourth track on Lover.
Lover was released on August 23rd, 2019, and this song was co-written by Joel Little. The Man was released as the final single for Lover on January 27th, 2020.
Oof.
It technically wasn't the final single for Lover because we had like that weird delayed Cruel Summer, and technically All the Girls You Loved Before kind of was a single-ish.
Yeah, like way later.
Yeah, way later. So it's the final official single.
Yeah, of and Lover. Cruel promotional Summer single. Was probably going to be a single had COVID not happened.
Yeah, it was truly a cruel summer.
It was.
The Man peaked at 23 on the Billboard Hot 100. The music video for The Man was released on February 27th, 2020.
Oof. Also dark. Even darker.
It just gets closer.
The Man has been played live by Taylor 85 times so far.
Yes.
It was first played at the City of Lover concert in Paris. Pour one out for us who didn't get to see it.
Just so jealous for anyone Forever and who always. Was ever at the City of Lover.
Forever and always. She also performed it on her Tiny Desk concert, which was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's a really awesome video if y'all haven't seen that yet.
Yeah,
that's she plays a, really a couple one. Of Lover songs as well as All Too Well, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she plays it every night during the Lover set on the Eras Tour right after Cruel Summer.
Yes, and the costume, it's like a sparkle blazer. Mm-hmm. It's super, super fun. My favorite version is the hot pink one.
Ooh.
The Barbie one.
Yes, the Barbie one. Yeah.
But yeah, I like the sparkle blazers. Those are fun. Yeah. She does her like little, you guys are making me feel like the man.
Like powerful.
Yeah.
Like I could be the man. I love all of the backup dancers in all their suits and stuff and doing like the choreography is really fun and goofy and stuff, and how she uses the set.
Yeah.
It's fun. Levels. Yeah. We love levels.
We do love levels.
And staging. The tour performance is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Devin?
Yes.
What do you think about The Man?
So the tour performance makes you forget about the actual song, because the song itself is rough. I really do not like this song. I would say it's one of my least favorite Taylor songs. I would say it's my least favorite on Lover.
Mm.
I totally understand, though.
Less than It's Nice to Have a Friend?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's Nice to Have a Friend ranks above The Man for me. Which is wild.
Yeah.
They're both pretty low. I totally get why she wrote this song. I understand why she had to write this song. Mm-hmm. The feelings behind it. I obviously, as a man, cannot fully understand what it is like to be a woman or to understand what she has gone through. Mm-hmm. I see what she goes through on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And it's total crap. You know, I mean, the way that this world treats her, the way that the industry treats her, mm-hmm. the way that the news treats her, the way that everybody who feels like they have to have an opinion about her treats her.
Yeah.
It is just absolutely insanity. And especially recently with all of the Travis stuff and the Maddie Healy stuff. And obviously she's the biggest she's ever been and everyone's talking about her.
Yeah.
But everyone feels like they have a right to say the most horrible things about her too. Mm-hmm. And it is so appalling to me.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, you don't hear this stuff about guys. You don't.
Yeah, like, it's very different.
I mean, Maddie Healy's not getting anything. He's not getting, like, I guess he got, like, a little bit of flack with obvious, well, from the fans.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, he's not in the mainstream media at all. No one's talking about him.
Yeah.
People aren't really even talking about Travis. They're talking about him as a
like accessory extension, to her,
extension of Taylor now.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, he is equally at the top of his game. So I completely understand what is behind this song.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely think she could have written a incredible song about this, and this is not it. And so I am not saying that this isn't warranted. I'm not saying that these feelings are not valid. They are completely valid. And she's super right. And I'm sure that life would be very different for her if she were a man. And the ease sometimes at which men get things compared to women is absolutely true, especially in her industry. And especially in the country side of her industry.
Yeah, for sure.
This song does not stack up to her songwriting ability and the way that she could have written an absolutely scathing song about this.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a boring, lazy, totally ridiculous song, I think. I think that some of the lyrics, I don't even think like any of the lyrics are very good. I think that they're boring lyrics.
There are some of lyrics in it that are
good. I think it's lazy. And I guess that in a way, that might be the point.
Yeah.
That if she were a man who had written this song, it would be like the biggest song of all time. Well, because it's, potentially, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think, even though I don't love Mad Woman, I think that Mad Woman is a much better expression of this part of her life than The Man. I think that the anger in Mad Woman and the lyricism in Mad Woman is a lot stronger. I think that Taylor had a lot of fun with this idea.
Yeah.
But she wouldn't be where she is today if she were a man. She is Taylor Swift because she's a woman. She's Taylor Swift because she has the fan base that she has.
Yeah.
Which are all young teenage girls, now moms, and now, you know, getting older. And with each generation, she has a predominantly young female listener base that relates to her, that she writes relatable music about, that she has been there for. Well, and if she were a man, she wouldn't have that.
No, but it's a thought exercise. I don't think Taylor actually wishes she were a
man. No, of course
not. But of course not. Yeah, of course.
But I think, like, I feel like it does, this song also does a little disservice to that, to the success that she has had because of being a woman in this industry.
Well, I don't think the song necessarily does a disservice to it. I think it's more like funny tongue-in-cheek. It just doesn't come across necessarily the same way in the song as it does in the video, if
that makes sense. Yes, absolutely. I think the music video is brilliant.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to.
Yeah, we will discuss that. But so I think that she doesn't have to, like, also be like, but it's okay because I'm a woman, just because she wanted to explore this idea.
No, of course.
You know what I mean?
And I get it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think that that's a very good point. I just think the song could have been so much better. I think that the NPR Tiny Desk thing is fine. I think that being on tour is interesting because she gets, you know, the emotion from the crowd, and it's definitely, she's playing off of the crowd during the song. I think you're right. I think as a standalone song, it just doesn't work, and it isn't good. I think all of the spectacle around it, and when we get to the music video, we'll talk about that, but I think that the performance nature of it makes it better. I think as a listening experience, it doesn't...
Yeah, just as a song.
It falls super duper flat.
Yeah.
Gab, what do you think of The Man?
I mean, I think that The Man is a perfectly fun and boppy song. It's definitely an earworm, and it gets stuck in your head super, super easily. And I use the word earworm, like, in a way where instead of, like, catchy, I don't know if it's, like, you enjoy having it stuck in your head necessarily, but it is definitely catchy, though. Like, you sing it when you hear it, and it's playing in my head right now because we've been listening to it tonight. I also completely understand why Taylor needed to write and did write this song. She's been subject to incredible amounts of misogyny over the years and has constantly been reminded of the double standard in her career and personal life, and even still is up to today with her most recent release of the Tortured Poets Department. People are obsessed with Taylor's dating life, the amount of people she's dated. They're constantly talking about it and bringing it up and shaming her for it when she's just dating, like, a normal young person trying to find her right match. And it all just happens to be public because of who she is. Male musicians' dating lives are just not scrutinized in this same way. Like, I couldn't name every single one of, like, Harry's exes. I could name couple, but not every single one. And yes, maybe that's because I'm a bigger Taylor fan than Harry, but like my mom could name her ex-boyfriends and that means it's in the media too much, you know? Taylor's also faced insane amounts of misogyny in her work as an artist over the years, mm-hmm. with people questioning early on if she even wrote her own music, mm-hmm. including like critics in the industry, as well as making belittling statements like she only writes about boys in love. I even saw that same dumb critique as recently as about the Torture Poets Department.
Yeah.
When male artists write songs about love, it's a universal experience that we all have. When Taylor does, people tell her to grow up and stop writing about boys. She's literally writing about love from all sides. And, like, it's something that we all experience throughout our entire lives. Like, just because, like, you don't only fall in love when you're young. And, like, also, like, just because you get married doesn't mean that, like, love isn't part of your life. Like, that's really sad if that's the case. Like, you can experience love and feel it in different ways and different forms your entire life. Yeah. And that's everyone. That's very universal. It's not, like, juvenile.
Yeah.
And that's such a freaking misogynistic critique that I've been seeing a lot.
Mm.
And then people have been, like, taking out, like, lyrics from So High School and being like, grow up. And it's, like, literally the song is called So High School. Like, she's talking about feeling like she's in high school. You idiots. A lot of the criticism from the last couple weeks has really been getting to me.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
All that's to say, I fully, fully understand the misogyny, the unfair criticism that Taylor has faced through her whole career because she's a woman, as well as what all female public figures experience and what regular women in society do, because I am one of those. So I really get why she wrote The Man.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish that the song wasn't so obvious and hit you over the head.
Mm.
That's my biggest critique of it. I think it was an important song for her to write. I just really think she could have written all those same ideas better,
mm-hmm.
and has in other songs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she achieved her goal with The Man because I think it made certain people recognize the double standard in a very clear way, or maybe possibly for the first time for some people who heard that song, and especially as a single, people would hear that song who maybe didn't seek it out.
Mm.
But, like, for any of us who've ever taken a sociology or a gender studies class or read, like, any feminist text at all or engaged in any feminist media at all, this song was kind of like a duh moment.
Mm.
And maybe that just makes me not the intended demographic for the song. Mm-hmm. Like, the song just felt kind of like, yeah, I get it. But yeah, I'm a woman, too.
Right.
So, like, maybe it, like, wasn't exactly for me.
Mm.
I don't know. There was just something about the song where I was like, oh my gosh, this is so obvious. She could write such better lyrics. Mm-hmm. Like, I know she can. And there's some parts of the song that I do really like, and I do enjoy some of the lyrics. It's just, like, all the themes could be explored in such a better way, and she has in later music.
Yes.
I think the song itself is fun. I think the melody is really catchy and enjoyable. I like the way it starts and the space that Taylor gives some of her lyrics. I think the pauses are very intentional and pleasing to the ear. Like, I would be complex. I would be cool. Like, I like the pauses. That's interesting and different. I like the bridge and, like, the quick lyric during the bridge, especially the first time that I realized Taylor actually said getting bitches and models. I was like, no, she didn't. She said pictures.
She
like, nope, it is bitches.
Yeah.
So it's definitely quick and witty. I think what I'm missing is, like, more bite. Like, I want it to have more bite and anger, not just kind of like, I'm just saying these things that are, like, more obvious. But we get that bite on later albums. Like, I'm particularly thinking about, like, No Deal, the 1950s shit they want from me. That's a little bit more bite. We've got a lot of bite on Torture Poets Department.
A lot of bite.
Mad Woman definitely has a ton of bite. So I think that maybe that's kind of something I more seek out in some of my, like, more feminist songs.
Yeah.
I also really, really think I would feel differently about The Man if it hadn't been a single. You know, as you guys know, Lover is my favorite Taylor album still today.
Our favorite.
I didn't want to speak for you.
Thank you.
And I think it contains some of her best songs she's ever written. So, like, the fact that she released The Man as a single over Cruel Summer or Death by a Thousand Cuts, like, that kills me. Like, truly.
Or Cornelia Street.
But, like, I was trying to just pick even, like, the most, like, boppy similar.
Or I Forgot That You Existed. Like, that's such a bop.
Yeah, even Paper Rings is better. Like, I mean, she's got a ton of better
Afterglow
songs on this album than
Miss
she
Americana
does The Man. I don't know. I mean, that I like that song more than The Man, but it's not my favorite on the album. But Yeah, so I think that, like, if The Man was just part of, like, the 18 songs, not a single, and one of her better songs had been a single for other people to hear who aren't necessarily as bought in, maybe I'd feel differently. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
Because there are some songs on Lover I don't like that much that I don't feel, like, as, like, frustration about as I do The Man. And I think her picking it as a single is part of that. And I feel like it is for you, too, even if you don't think of it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Devin?
Sure.
Do you relate to The Man?
So I don't, because I can't fully relate to it. I really can't relate to it at all.
Yeah, that's okay.
You know, I will say, though, there are times where I have experienced other men and how horrible they can be mm-hmm. to men as well.
Yeah, totally.
And the misogyny can go both ways for to other men,
yeah,
too.
Of course.
I, you know, being in the service industry, I have dealt with a lot of quote-unquote powerful old white men.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of really terrible people like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, okay, so they've gotten ahead in life because they've maybe been terrible and crawled over people and have made millions that way and whatever. But, like, do we really want to be that?
But it's not about that. That's not what this song is about at all.
No, I know. But, but like, that kind of man, I don't want
to
be.
No, no one wants to be. But that kind of man has gotten ahead for decades.
Yeah.
Probably centuries.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't think that that's great.
No, neither does Taylor, obviously. That's what the song's about.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of them have gotten ahead. And that sucks. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So, like, I like Taylor as Taylor.
So does Taylor.
Gab, do you relate to this song?
Oh, my God. I, of course, relate to this song. It's definitely can be hard to be a woman in society in the workforce. I've definitely been called a slut before, and I have had male coworkers with the same job title as me make much more money than me. One example that, as I was thinking about, like, being a woman in the workforce that came to my mind was from a number of years ago. So we've probably talked about this on the podcast before, but I used to work in theater management pre-pandemic, might one day again, we'll see, TBD. But I was once planning and running a reading for a future Broadway show. So that's like when you have like a script and the cast comes in and they like read through the script for people to be like, oh, maybe we'll raise money for this show and put it on somewhere and it'll happen. So I was in charge of this project. And, you know, it's for Broadway, so that's a quite high level. And I was the person who was really doing the work. And the producer who was in charge of the show referred to me, to the whole new cast of people, like as we're introducing ourselves, as a lovely volunteer here to help. And, like, this was literally my job and my career that, like, I had worked hard on, had been at for a number of years, and had planned the whole reading as my job. And, like, I was fully in charge of paying everyone for that reading. Like, I ran the payroll and, like, you know, followed, like, all the union rules and all that kind of stuff. And, like, she knew. My name's on the contact sheet. Like, I had planned this whole thing.
She emailed.
Oh, yeah. It was a woman producer.
Oh, okay.
Only to be belittled to the role of a volunteer. As if I had just shown up that day to, like, pass out the scripts and water. Which, yes, I also did. But, like, I had done all the details of all the things for that reading, because it's usually small scale and there's not a ton of people who work on it. I had an assistant who helped me, who was also referred to as a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, it was a female producer. So it's not like women are immune to this. Women are also part of the system that is
she
super misogynistic.
She was the man in this,
yes,
in this instance.
And she had a lot of power and had worked hard to get there, but that didn't mean that she was pulling up other women with her, which is also a function of patriarchy.
Yes.
And a problem.
Yes.
And, I mean, it was so infuriating and also, like, kind of humiliating. Like, not like that any of them knew, right? Like, no one knew. But to be introduced for the first time to people on something you're working on when you're the one paying them as a volunteer, like, as if, like, I'm, like, an unpaid intern.
Yeah.
When I'm well into my career at that point. And I just, like, I really, really don't think that the producer would have spoken that way about me if I had been a man at the same age.
Hmm.
So I think it was a function of, yes, being a woman, but mm-hmm. also being young.
Young.
But I wasn't that young.
No.
I just look young and I'm short. So people like to infantilize me.
Yeah.
And it was extremely infuriating. And it's still, you can hear it in my voice. Like, yeah. It still frustrates me today. And I, you know, I actually continued to work on that project and with that producer for a number of years, but I never forgot that. Mm-hmm. And just the way you could put someone down like that, too.
Yeah.
A volunteer. This is my job. This is literally what I'm pursuing as my career.
Pretty sure volunteer means without pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just like, it just came to me. I remembered that as I was like thinking about this and thinking about like what my experiences are. Because like, I don't feel like a ton. There's a lot of women in powerful roles in the theater industry, but mm-hmm. still not enough.
Yeah.
So yeah. And also still there can be women in power who also who follow, you know, a patriarchal society and are misogynistic.
And can sometimes be worse, honestly.
This particular person was quite difficult.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So that's how I relate. The Man music video was directed by Taylor herself,
woo!
Making it her official solo directorial debut.
In so many since.
Yes. She also starred in the video as Tyler Swift under layers of makeup and prosthetics. When I first saw the video, it took me until the end reveal to realize that it was Taylor.
I think that was the point.
I mean, yes, because the prosthetics are really, really good. But I wonder if there was anyone who figured it out immediately.
Yeah.
And it's so cool that, like, during the credits where you see her becoming Tyler, it's so cool. Taylor was quoted saying that the makeup transformation took 4 to 6 hours each day before the shoot.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. At the end of the video, Taylor plays the director of the video inside the video, who tells her own character, who for the one line is voiced by Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. Wow. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, which is quite one of the most manly men in Hollywood.
The only one that could have been more manly would be like Morgan Freeman.
Oh, best voice ever. But Taylor as director tells herself playing Tyler to be sexier and more likable, which I'm sure is something that's often given as a note to women, and I'm sure that Taylor herself has heard before. And then she also tells like the woman who's like the extra that her work was astonishing, which I'm like, I bet that's happened before too.
Definitely, just like a male extra.
Yeah. So funny, so smart. Like this music video is the best part of this song. This music video is what I want the song to be. Like, it's so smart and funny and tongue-in-cheek and points out all the different things. She really delivers in the music video.
I 100% agree.
Taylor's dad, Scott, appears briefly in the video as a tennis umpire. There are also cameos from social media influencers Lauren Gray and Dominic Tolliver and actress Jaden Bartels.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Me either. Sorry, guys, I didn't do more research on you. Perhaps the biggest Easter egg of the Man music video is the 13th Street subway station wall with all of Taylor's album's names graffitied on it, the sign with the scooter with the red no logo over it.
Phenomenal.
Referencing Scooter Braun. And the sign that says, missing, if found, return to Taylor Swift, about her albums and referring to the loss of her masters, which was extremely fresh at this time.
Yeah.
This was before the re-record project.
Yep.
And the Mr. Americana poster with the man, Tyler Taylor, on it.
Mm-hmm.
What made fans scrutinize this particular scene to the ends of the world
everything.
Was the word karma graffitied with all of Taylor's other album names. This spurred on the karma theory that before Reputation occurred as a result of the Taylor Swift Is Over party in 2016, Taylor was going to release an album titled Karma.
Right.
She played with Swifties and this theory again in 2022 when she finally released her song Karma on Midnights.
Yep.
But there are many who believe that a whole or partial Karma album was scrapped that would have gone along with Taylor's Bleachella era.
Interesting.
Because she changed up her look. She usually would only change up her look so drastically for an album.
Yeah.
And she, at that point, was releasing albums every 2 years.
Yeah.
She got off cycle when the Taylor Swift Is Over party happened. So many believe that Bleachella era's album was Karma. Some believe it still exists out there somewhere. Some believe or part of Reputation
is. Yeah, that it's become parts of other albums.
Yes. And I kind of think that's the case, too.
Yeah.
Also, though, I'm very interested to see what our Reputation vault tracks will be.
Very interesting.
But I also love the way that Taylor just, like, played with all of us and finally released a song called Karma on Midnight. It's, like, just so good. Just the way that she, like, knows the different, like, theories, and especially the ones that last years.
Yep. Oh, she, yep, she pays attention.
And this theory, like, is, like, so many people believed and talked about. Like, this was a years-long theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Devin, what do you think about the music video?
So I think this music video is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I think it is everything that the song wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is a welcome addition to her repertoire of music videos. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this is her directorial debut, phenomenal. I mean, it's just, it's so cool that this was her first one. And then to just see where, how far she's come as a director throughout all of her music videos since.
Yeah.
Like, really, really, really cool stuff. And then, of course, you know, doing the All Too Well 10-minute version. Like, it's just, it's really neat that she's able to flex this muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she can do this now, I think, because of who she is.
Yeah.
Before Lover, I think, maybe with Reputation, she would have been able to start doing that, but... And I know that she created the scripts and stuff with the music video directors and everything. She was definitely part of it. But it only, I feel, became during this era that she had the full clout and the power to do this. And to be Taylor Swift and be like, I am directing my music video.
Yeah. I also think it came as also a result of losing her masters, too. Like, her wanting to have more control over
total control. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I love how ridiculous this music video is. I love all the Easter eggs. I love the stereotypes. Mm-hmm. They are absolutely phenomenal and really, really real. Mm-hmm. Like, so real. When Taylor's walking through the office and, like, fist bumping people and just being a guy. And they're all, like, cheering for him. Like, it's just... for basically doing nothing. Yeah. It's great. I love the old guy at the end marrying the super young woman. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so wild and so real. Mm-hmm. And, like, very prescient with some of the things recently with, like, Robert De Niro and, like...
Well, it's not marriage. Just
no, but, like, having a baby at 80. Yeah. It's wild. Also, the Leonardo DiCaprio line has not aged very well. In the sense of that, like, in that scene, like, there's all of these, like, really, really young women.
Yeah.
And he has now been, like, torched for only dating women under 20.
25.
Yeah. And so, like, didn't really age that great.
Well, but
both literally and figuratively.
Kind of still did. Like, yes, he's been torched for it, but also, like... there's so many people who are like, yeah, man, you're the man. Like, he got that for years until he got criticism of it.
So there's one person, actually, who's been getting, you know, torched for his dating life.
But only recently.
Yeah, yeah.
Not...
somebody did, like, a graph of Leonardo DiCaprio's age versus the age of his girlfriends.
Oh, my God.
And his age is linear, and all of the women just stay below 25. Yeah.
It's, like...
rough. Yes. Rough, Leo.
But even still, because that criticism has come more recently, but even still, I couldn't name
any of them. No.
And they're all models.
No, except...
maybe Emily Ratajkowski, I think, because she was over 25 and everyone was talking about it. But I don't even know if they dated, honestly.
No idea.
Yeah.
Also, I love the world's best dad section. Mm-hmm. I think that's hysterical. He pats her on the head and all the women are like, oh my God, he's such a great dad.
That is so real, too. It's so real. Like, the bar for dads is literally low. On the ground. It's so low. Ridiculous.
It's amazing. Also... I think Taylor is a very attractive man.
That's funny. I'm not really into male Taylor, honestly.
I think she made it great. I think they made her very attractive. It's great. Yeah, I think it's a fantastic video. Gab, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. It's my favorite part of the song. It's so funny and smart and on the nose. And it's like everything I wish the lyrics of this song was.
Yeah.
Like, all the subtle things, the man spreading on the subway, so real. The not having any care for someone's personal space or, like, you're taking up your space. You're smoking and, like, putting your ashes on the person, like, all of that. Like, the dad getting, like, cheered on for doing
nothing,
the absolute littlest thing. And then, like, the guy in the office, like, always just, like, fist bumping, whatever. I hate that type of man so much. Like, I hate, like, this a bro-y alpha male.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so, I do not like toxic masculinity at all. Not that anyone does, but, like, I really hate bro culture.
Ooh, yeah.
And then, like, the tennis thing where it's, like, women's charity mm-hmm. and stuff. And, like, and then he's, like, throwing a fit and all of that. And that's, like, so prescient, too, with, like, the John McEnroe used to always do that on tennis courts. And, like, yes, he'd get fined or it'd be a thing, but the discourse wouldn't be that big. But then, yeah. like, Serena does it, and it's, like, the end of the world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, when Djokovic would, like, destroy three of his rackets and didn't get, you know, like, he got fined, yeah. But yeah. then Serena gets upset. And
the level of, like, criticism is, it's literally, is like, so in different. The news. Like, exactly. And everywhere. Like, I don't yeah. really follow tennis. And, yeah. like, I'll hear about that.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, a thing, and then obviously also race comes into play there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so like I think the music video is so smart. It's yeah. so funny. Definitely. I really love the music yes, video.
I agree completely. Yeah. Well, now we get to the segment of Gossip.
As we've said, the man is all about the double standards that Taylor faces as a woman in the music industry, as well as a public figure. Taylor revealed to Vogue that the song was written with the concept of how her career would play out if she were a man. If I had made all the same choices, all the same mistakes, all the same accomplishments, how would it read?
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. For those who don't know what Taylor is referring to in the lyric, I'd be just like Leo in Saint-Tropez, which we kind of already talked about.
Sorry.
It's okay. She's referring to Leonardo DiCaprio and his Saint-Tropez vacations, often photographed with different beautiful women and models, all often under the age of 25. So, as we've talked about, much is joked about Leo and how he only dates models and younger women, especially in recent years. No one ever talks about, though, like, that he dates too much, or they don't ever say, oh, he's girl crazy, the way they call Taylor boy crazy.
Right.
And they also don't say, oh, he always has a girlfriend, the way that they criticize Taylor, like, can she mm-hmm. ever be alone? Mm-hmm. They don't say that about him. They do the age thing, which is quite noticeable, right?
Yes.
But they never say, like, oh, he's girl crazy.
Yeah.
It's interesting, even though Leo gets some criticism, it's not that same way.
Yeah.
And, like, I can't even explain to you, like, how many people in our lives who aren't even, like, Taylor fans, like, any kind of person comes up to us, the first things they say are, like, oh, my God, she always has a boyfriend, or she's obsessed with boyfriend, or, oh, this is going to make great music, like, great song material.
Literally, when she started dating Travis Kelce and she broke up with Joe, my mom was like, oh, at least she'll get some good songs out of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool. Yes, most likely there will be very good songs written about it. But why? Like, what?
She's a human who probably is feeling a lot right now.
Yeah. Do you think her and Travis are going to get married? Everyone. Who cares?
I can't even count how many people have asked me that. Like, thousands. And they're like people who are like friends of my parents. Yeah. Like, yeah. random people.
Thousands. Yeah. And that is not an exaggeration.
No, it's not an exaggeration.
Thousands.
I don't even know 1,000 people, but thousands have asked me. Because you, like, meet a friend of a friend, and they tell you they're a Taylor Swift fan. So they'll be like, oh, they have a podcast.
And then,
like,
and then they'll tell you,
you think
they're
getting married? You think they're going to have a baby? And I'm like, I just am glad she's happy right now.
Do you think
now.
She's pregnant?
Like, it's insane. So, yeah. The song was co-written and produced by New Zealand producer Joel Little. He produced three other tracks on Lover, including You Need to Calm Down, Me, Miss Americana, and The Heartbreak Prince. And then he also produced Only the Young from the Miss Americana documentary. Recently, I was reading an article on a Substack called Notebook by culture critic B.D. McClay.
Oh.
In this article, she said something along the lines of, it was like in a footnote, where it was like, Joel Little is never allowed to write a song with Taylor Swift ever again.
I was just about to say,
I saw it on your face. And it's, I mean, that is so funny. Like, look, I am a Me apologist. I do love Me. And I like these other songs, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've heard us cover them. Not You Need to Calm Down yet, but you've heard us cover these other songs. These are not Taylor's strongest songs.
At all.
And I think Joel Little, it's like, how do I say this? It's like activism light.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we definitely talked about Only the Young.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a doozy.
Yeah. And we talked about Me and Miss Americana, The Heartbreak Prince as well. We'll get to You Need to Calm Down eventually. Maybe we'll never get
Maybe.
To Wise.
We'll probably never get there. Releasing
new music, but one day. But yeah, I thought that was really
never. Oh my gosh, really funny. That is very funny.
Yeah, and he's produced some really good music for like Lorde and Noah Kahan, but like it just was pretty funny. He's not my favorite Taylor collaborator.
No, I would say that those are some of the weaker songs on Lover.
Yeah, sorry if you're listening, Joel.
Joel, we love you.
I mean, but you know, he did get hits from them, so
definitely,
good for him, right?
Me was a huge single.
Oh man. In a Spotify storyline, Taylor explained, "This is a song that I've been wanting to write for a very long time in my career, but I could never figure out exactly how to phrase it. I've wondered several times, if I had been a man instead of a woman and I lived my life exactly the same way, what would people have said about me? It's about perception. It's not, what would I do if I were a man? It's about how I would be seen if I did exactly the same stuff. This is when I finally got an idea of how to approach this song."
Hmm.
The British Minister for Women and Equalities, Liz Truss, quoted this song in the British Parliament. During her speech at the Women's Day debate in the House of Commons on March 5th, 2020,
oh, Truss even closer.
Said, yeah,
oh,
God. Yeah, March 5th. That's
oh,
rough.
Darkest.
No, Britain might have already been locked down at that point. I guess mean, not if they're having Parliament.
Yeah, Parliament.
I but mean, they went down before us, right?
That's so close to...
Let us know, British listeners.
Oh, dark.
But she said, so that in the words of the brilliant Taylor Swift in her new song, women aren't left running as fast as they can, wondering if they'd get there quicker if they were a man. I'm like, no. I mean, it's kind of cool, but it's also like, don't quote this song in Parliament,
no.
guys. Oh, my
oh,
God. I know nothing about this woman or her politics, so...
Great.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, oh, these dates are triggering me.
All the 2020 dates. I know, it's rough. Okay, Devin, yeah. What's your favorite line in The Man?
So they paint me out to be bad, so it's okay that I'm mad.
That's a good one.
I think so. Yeah. So, I mean, if they're already saying that I'm bad and making terrible decisions and that I'm a loose cannon and stuff, might as well be mad.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to call me that anyway, and they're going to call me a crazy and a loony and boy crazy, and I don't know. It's so interesting talking about this song now. We have Tortured Poets Department,
yeah.
and like all of the anger on that album and how long it had to take for her to be able to write that
yeah.
and to like release
yeah.
that. You know, because Lover was still like, she was still very much like, pop and
yeah,
she's like mainstream
pop. Yes, yes
and she's like I'm not gonna do anything really outside of the norm like I'm gonna
yeah,
start
and it's nice to have a friend
I'm gonna start you know doing like some things here and there you know like she started speaking out about LGBTQ
mm-hmm.
she finally said stuff about voting
yeah
like
yeah, yeah.
you know like she started right and
yeah.
and then lockdown and it all kind of got reset and everything but now that she has this like she is done she is a woman who wants to talk about how pissed off she is about everybody and all the things that they have to say about
yeah,
her.
Yeah, and I'm just so glad.
I'm so glad we have this new like
yeah,
this new
yeah.
album and that we're going to delve into it.
Yeah.
Because like I feel like this song was the beginning of that
mm-hmm,
and there's
mm-hmm.
definitely so much more that she wanted to explore here, but I feel like she just couldn't or felt like she couldn't fully go there.
Yeah, she had to have a journey to get there.
It had to be censored in a way.
Yeah, and I get that. Like, especially,
yeah.
like, as women today, too, I feel like anger is just, like, not an emotion that, like, you see a lot, or, like, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
feel as acceptable. I don't know. And so, like, her getting to a place where she's like, I am just going to say what I'm feeling
yep.
is, yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, typically when a woman is mad, the first thing people say is, that's unattractive.
Yeah, or they call her a bitch, which
yeah.
is in the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Or difficult.
Difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that they paint me out to be bad, so it's okay that I'm mad, is the precursor for the Tortured Poets Department.
I like it.
Gab, what is your favorite line?
I really like, when everyone believes ya, and the pause, what's that like?
Mm, that's good.
I like, as I said before, I like the pauses in a lot of the lyrics here, and the space. I think it really works. It makes it interesting.
Yeah.
But I also really like that because it was coming off of the lawsuit of the radio DJ who groped her during a meet and greet, and that Taylor sued for $1, and she won that suit and got that dollar. But, like, that when everyone believes ya, what's that like? Like, so many people, like, didn't believe, and like so many people don't believe women, and like in that way, in all sorts of other ways, like that's just like a really important thing to just like be able to say the truth and have people believe you is not a very common thing for women in our society, unfortunately. So I like that lyric a lot. And then another one I really liked always was "Could I Be Separated from My Good Ideas and Power Moves?" And it's so interesting because like there's always this like when Taylor makes like a brilliant move, there's always this like, oh, she's calculated.
Yeah.
But like, if a man makes a good business move, it's like, that was a great move. It's like, yeah, she's calculated. She's a really good businesswoman.
Yeah.
Everyone's calculated. Like, why is that a negative thing? She just made a good move, right? Like, I mean, obviously, like, she is definitely a marketing machine and a capitalist and all of those things. She made $1 billion off of the Eras Tour and like all of the music and merch and ticket sales and all of that stuff. But like, it's not like, oh, she's calculated. It's like, yeah, she's a really fucking good businesswoman. Sorry for my language.
Yeah, no, and you know? she definitely knows her demographic.
Yeah. Okay, Devin, I'm a little scared for this one. From $1 to $10 you rake in, what are you giving the man?
So I have to be fair here.
Yes.
And add in, as I have done in the past, into the full ranking of the song, the music video.
Oh, right, right, yeah, you have.
I do have to be fair here. If it were just the song, it would be a 2.
Wow.
100%. Mm-hmm. If with the music video, because I think the music video is fantastic, I'm going to give it 4. I'm going to give the man $4 you rake in. And I think I've already said my piece.
You have.
Gab, from $1 to $10 you rake in, what do you give this song?
In a twist of fate, I'm also giving it $4 you rake in.
Mm.
This is also one of my least favorite Taylor songs. Even though I love the video. I appreciate all the ideas and why she did it. Obviously, I've said that in this podcast. It's just not one of her stronger songs.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Joel Little. It's just
poor
not.
Joel Little.
And then it's also one of those things where like it's track 4, so this song just feels like a 4 to me. Like that's just the number that sits in my heart.
Yeah.
So it's just like I have to follow my heart.
But there's so many good track 4s.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that anything about that. It's just like this song, like so when I think of my rankings, I like see a number in my head.
And it's just there.
And this is just a 4. Yeah, it just comes to me.
Wow.
And this is a 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Listen along with us. You can check us out on Instagram at Tazy Podcast and give us all your thoughts.
Is this your favorite song on Lover?
Did we just offend you for 45 minutes?
Did you not even get to this part of the podcast? Because you turned it off after...
Let us know it all. And let us know, like, your thoughts on, like, yeah, the music video, your favorite Easter eggs, your favorite, like, jokes in it.
Yeah.
Maybe what your favorite The Man costume is on tour. Ooh, yeah.
Because that's great. That performance is great.
Yes.
Well, next episode, we'll be covering The Moment I Knew. Oh, boy. That's going to be a doozy.
Maybe.
From Red, Taylor's version.
Come hang with us.
I'm Devin.
And I'm Gab.
This has been Tay to Z.
Thanks for listening. See you next time.